from London.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers. Manufacturers of State Express 3-5's Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door.
I watched the passengers come off without a care in the world.
was Tom Reed, dressed to kill. My eyes kept wandering over to him. The thought kept jabbing at me that there was a man I could be if I played my cards right. We were about the same age and build, except that Reed was a little pale around the gills. All Reed had on me was a bankroll. The car rolled up, and Reed went to him. I went after him. What scheme I had in my mind, I'm not clear on anymore. It might have been the ring on his middle finger, or the pounds he flashed when he tipped the kid and brought the car back. Or maybe I was just going to catch him either. Anyhow, there I was over the car, staring at him, tongue-tied.
Yes? Is there something you want?
Yeah. Driving north?
Hitchhiking?
Yeah.
Well, hop in.
Someone who talks on your level. I even got to like him. A little. We chewed up about 100 miles. And I caught that funny look crossing Reed's face again. I watched the hand clasp over his heart. Reed seemed to sag and the car began to circle wildly. I grabbed the wheel in the nick of time. He always dropped off an incline. Pull to the side and shut the motor. What's it you read?
It's my heart.
How bad is it?
The doctor gave it a year. I've been shortchanged by 2 weeks. Get me to a doctor.
He sounded like he only had minutes.
Get me to a doctor, Miller.
I stalled. There was a little man counting off 100,000 in my mind, slowly, by ones. Reed's eyes were on me. They were dying eyes. But I caught a twinkle, as if he were amused over something.
Here's your chance, Miller. Just sit it out, under the stars. Forget the doctor.
Now, what I like about you is your sense of humor. I'm taking you to a doctor.
Thanks.
But don't bother, it's too late.
Reed.
Bury me somewhere. As Jim Miller. You'll be Tom Reed for those 3 days.
You're inviting me to?
It's destiny, perhaps. Perhaps you didn't just happen to come home.
was too late to play Boy Scout and race for the doctor. Reed was dead. I sat around a while thinking over what to do. But there was nothing to think over. My mind had been made up for me a long time before Reed happened along. I told myself that Reed's dying remark practically made me his heir. But I didn't have to tell myself anything. The little blind man he talked about was already counting 100,000 in my head. 100,000 pound notes. I found a lake about 5 miles up a side road. Not a house or a human anywhere. I swapped clothes with Reed, weighed his pockets with stones, then said goodbye and let him slip. I ran for the car and headed for White Oaks. Reed's wallet pushing against me as I drove. It was a down payment on the 100,000. I got to White Oaks as the storm raged. The house was high on a hill. It looked forbidding. Everything about it seemed to say, keep out. Making an entry was easy. Easy, did I say? Every ghost story I'd heard as a kid played with my spine. If the outside had given me the willies, the interior put the icy frosting on it. There were shadows from kerosene lamps doing a jig on the walls. Not a soul in sight. Where was the blind uncle?
Anybody home?
I could hear an echo hanging in the air. And then I heard a tapping coming at me out of the shadows. Uncle Walter came towards me, feeling his way with a cane. An old guy with more wrinkles than face. His hand reached for me. I could feel my flesh crawling.
Tom?
Hello? Uncle Walter?
Give me your hand, nephew.
Of course.
It's been so long since I felt the warmth of a Reed hand. Your cablegram from the boat was a surprise.
Was it?
I thought you would not leave Honolulu. You wouldn't risk a trip.
Why not? My heart.
Oh, my poor chap.
Perhaps I'll outlive the doctors.
Your voice, it's changed.
For the better?
It's deeper.
I'll blame it on the Honolulu climate.
Even your speech.
What about that?
It lacks the Reed refinement.
I'll blame that on Honolulu English. They make a professor talk like a costermonger in 6 months. Well, it's been a long time, Uncle.
Yes, it's been a long time.
I'd like to retire.
I'm tired.
Oh, of course. You'll want to be rested tomorrow for your cousin Margaret's arrival.
Margaret? She's coming tomorrow?
Yes.
How is Margaret?
Oh, she's grown into a fine woman. She'll make you a good wife, Tom.
When do the wedding bells ring out?
The day you take your inheritance. As your father wished it. You're displeased, Tom?
No, it's just that I never understood why my father made marrying a condition. The way I am. One jump ahead of the undertaker.
Margaret's the daughter of an old school friend your father knew out east. You and Margaret were playmates as children, and your father wanted someone close to have his money after you. This letter here is from Margaret. It came the other day. If you'd care to read it.
Thank you. I'll read it in bed.
Well, good night, nephew.
Good night, Uncle Walter.
Run into
I wonder how it will be meeting Tom again.
Walter, we were practically infants the last time together. The questions that keep crowding my mind. What does he look like? What does he think about? Will he like me enough? And how will it feel marrying a man who played with as a child 15 years ago? And will you like me too, dear Uncle Walter?
So Margaret didn't know Tom Reed from Adam. All I had to do was to keep the act going for 3 days, grab the money, and leave. The next morning, I drove into the village. I wanted to buy a paper and some odds and ends. I'd left the village store when a fat little man in a seaman's outfit had been hanging about inside and followed me out. I started up a car, and he drifted over.
And why, dear friend?
How did you guess?
The car. It's the cab Reed hired yesterday. Can I catch a lift with you?
You're going to White Oaks?
Yes. Tom Reed's guest. Name is Brand, right?
I'll hop in. Are you a friend of Tom's?
Well, I was purser on the ship he came over on. Hit it off. I got invited to his wedding. Friendly chap, Reed. Rich, but genuine.
My mind worked at trip hammer speed. With every mile, the car brought me closer to reunion with someone who no longer existed. I had a choice of two things. Make a clean breast of everything, or stop Brand before he got to White Oaks. I didn't have to choose. Bran made my mind up for me. He threw a sudden bombshell.
What did you do with Tom Reed?
I don't understand.
You're wearing Reed's clothing, you're driving his car, you paid for some junk at the store, you showed Reed's wallet. You needn't sweat. He can do business.
How much?
Half. Just masquerading. All if you killed him.
I didn't kill him. A heart attack did. I just stitched the body. Is it half?
I'll let you know.
I suppose. It came a lot harder than that. I dragged Bran through the woods, looking for a place to hide him until I could get some tools and bury him later. And suddenly, some motorist, unable to get past my parked car on the narrow road, I left Bran as he was and ran to the car. For it was a girl, easy on the eyes, with a rainbow-colored scarf flying in the breeze.
Move your car!
Sorry.
Are you hunting?
Hunting?
I heard shooting.
I took a pot shot at some rabbits.
Any luck?
No, I'm a bad shot.
Too bad. Am I on the right road to White Oaks?
You wouldn't be Margaret.
Yes. I'm Margaret.
Well, I'm Tom Reed.
You're Tom.
Disappointed?
Don't mind my staring. I always stare.
She wasn't just staring. She was accusing me with her eyes. she knew I wasn't on Reed. She hadn't seen Reed since childhood, but maybe there'd been an exchange of photographs. I couldn't let her run blabbering to White Oaks. After Brand, I was up to my neck in it. There was no turning back anymore.
Aren't you going to show me the way, Tom?
The way you keep staring?
Why?
Just bad manners.
But you're still staring.
I'm sorry.
She couldn't control her eyes. I followed the direction of her stare, and then suddenly it hit me. Murder was written all over me. There was blood on my clothes. It was as if Brand's corpse was standing beside me, telling the world. You came at a bad time.
You killed somebody. In there. That's what those shots were. You killed Uncle Walter.
Uncle Walter?
And you're not Tom Reed.
You've got a picture of him?
Yes.
Nice and frank. Well, why don't you scream?
I'd rather do this. Stay exactly where you are.
Do you know how to use it, that gun?
Try me and see.
Yes, I've got to try you. Whether I like it or not, I've got to... Nice shooting for a girl. My turn now. She bit my elbow. I drilled her clean through the temple. Her shooting first made it easy for me. In a way, it was like self-defense. I was still kidding myself. Funny, I met a girl and killed her, all in less than 5 minutes. The 100,000 was coming a lot harder than I thought. I drove her car and all as far into the woods as I could get, and shot back to White Oaks. Playing air for a couple of days was out now. I was running out of time. The plan now was to grab what was in the safe, one way or another, and get as far from the two corpses and the blind uncle as I could get. I got to the safe and began to work at the dials. And then I heard Uncle Walter tapping his way towards me.
John?
Yes, Uncle?
Give me your hand, nephew. Where is it?
Here. What do you do, read palms with your fingers?
Yes, nephew. There are flakes of dirt on your palm. As if you've had your hands on the ground.
Not bad. You ought to be a detective.
And there's an odor. A smell of blood.
Let go of my hand.
What's wrong, John?
Listen. I've got a gun in my hand, pointing right at you. You're going to tap your way to that floor safe and open it. With no stalling and no questions.
No questions. But I don't know the combination from memory.
You don't?
If you listen. Combination is on a memorandum pad at the library desk.
Get it. He tapped his way along the floor to the desk, stopped over the drawer, then stayed there in a crouch like a guy in a trench. There was a gun pointing in front of him. You crazy old fool. What good's the gun? You're blind.
You'll not get a penny, imposter.
Get over to that safe and open it up.
Never.
I'm counting three. One, two, better be. He'd shot me with perfect marksmanship. He'd aimed in the direction of my voice. I thought. I moved to his side quickly, emptied my gun. Uncle Walter was propped over the desk. I hit him in his cheek and neck. He was still alive. The gun pointing in front of him. I crept along the wall to the other side of the room, quietly. I didn't want him aiming in the direction of the sounds again. He aimed the gun. I watched the muzzle of the gun follow me, inching as I moved. The old man was looking at me, watching me, as if he could see it, as if he had perfect vision.
Got me again.
Uh, it, Sergeant.
You fixed the glycerine charge in a can and blew the wall safe?
That was a trick I picked up in prison. There were some chemicals in the storeroom at White Oaks. I thought I was going...
to collect your fortune?
Yeah. The old man, Uncle?
Dead. He died of those bullet wounds you made.
How did you... what brought you...
to White Oaks? The young lady. She came in and told us that you were trying to rob the safe. That you were likely to commit mayhem.
Young lady?
Sure. Wait a minute. How did you describe this, Margaret? A rainbow-colored scarf. What color hair did she have?
Auburn. Auburn. Gray eyes. Auburn hair.
That's impossible. Don't die. You can't die. This girl.
Ghost, don't you? A ghost.
Hey, what's this? Who's that laughing? Doctor, did you hear that?
I saw you.
Did you hear that, Doctor?
Well, he's dead. This young man is dead.
But the girl, she spoke.
Well, I didn't hear anything. You must be imagining things.
Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present